Mike Montgomery joins me on Sports Byline, College Basketball Hall of Fame coach who coached six seasons at Cal, 18 at Stanford, and eight as the head coach at Montana. And also, he was the head coach for a couple of seasons with the Golden State Warriors. But Mike was on the committee charged with finding out what caused the college basketball scandal and what changes should be made to clean up the program. Some of the others on that committee included David Robinson, Grant Hill, John Thompson, also Mark Emmert, and Candaliza Wright. First of all, Mike, it seems to me the committee's job was to find out what happened and what can be done to hopefully prevent it from happening again. Which of those two things was the hardest for the committee to deal with?
Well, finding out what happened wasn't that hard. I mean, I think that most people know that that's been going on for a long time. I think there was a pretty good surprise at the depth of the involvement of outside people, the amounts of money that were being thrown around to induce kids to go to a specific school or sign with a certain agent. I think that was pretty well known. And so, you know, that wasn't a problem. It's just how to correct it is just a nightmare. It's just an unbelievable problem to all the facets and how deep it runs. You know, and we had a fairly short period of time in which to deal with it. What you try to avoid is unintended consequences. Every time you came up with something, you know, there's an unintended consequence. And, of course, there's lawsuits and there's all kinds of different things. So it was a big, big project.
I just don't know how you could find any solution to all of this because it's so deeply ingrained, as you indicated, and then everybody has a vested interest in one way or another. So how did the committee approach this?
Well, I think you're right. And I think the thing that Condi acknowledged was that we're not going to find a solution to everything. And we can't possibly solve all of the problems. And quite frankly, until people want to be a part of the solution, as long as there are people that are going to try to find ways around rules, then we're going to have problems. And it's no different than politics or business or any other facet of life. What's happened to men's college basketball is I shouldn't say that because it involved football probably as well. It's such a big business. There's so much money involved. And these high-priced kids, these kids that are really the best players, are so good that there's just a lot of money involved. And so there are a lot of people that are not necessarily involved in athletics that see these kids and a way to profit from them. And so, you know, you try to get to the root of the problem. Obviously, from a collegiate standpoint, we tried to strengthen the notion of the value of an education, to understand that we are really designed as universities to educate young people. And that should be our primary focus. And if a player wants to be a professional, give him the easiest and the most readily accessed to be able to do so. But basically to protect the kid along the way so that he can get a quality education. Did we completely solve that? No.
You know, I feel sorry for the kid today. He's 18 years old. He's coming out of high school. He's got a lot of social pressure on him. He's got a lot of family pressure on him as well. And then he's moving into an arena in which money is the motivating factor for everything. What is a kid supposed to do?
Well, you know, I talk to a lot of AU people and guys that are friends, you know, and a lot of those guys work in the shadows a little bit. They know what's going on. And they said, you know, parents are monetizing their kids. They see an opportunity to make money, and there's no shortage of people to jump in there with money for them. You know, in some ways, I'm not sure that's all bad. There's a lot of people out there with kids that don't have much, and we have to find a way to provide a scholarship that helps these young people. You know, the problem to me is, and I know that I'm old school, but a scholarship's a heck of a deal, Ron. I mean, goodness gracious. You know, to have an opportunity to play college basketball, and they've increased the scholarship value with the actual cost of an education. There's, if you really don't have money as a family, there's Pell Grant. There's also a special needs program for kids that need, if you don't have clothing, to be able to, you know, to get clothing. So, you know, a scholarship's worth a lot. If you look at it from the standpoint of the other kid that lives next door, that works so hard just to get into a college, And then you have the athlete next door who gets in because the athletic department allows them to get in, pays their tuition, pays their books, gets them tutors, has a strength coach for them, buys all their meals. It's a pretty good deal. Now, the problem is all the money that people see that certain people are making. And they're basically saying the kids are the ones that are earning this money, and they're not getting any of it. And some of these coaches are getting paid a lot of money, and the athletic departments are benefiting. And there's some truth to that, without a doubt.
But when you think about it, it looks like those that want to get an education and don't necessarily want to become pro athletes is a little bit different than those who say, I'm only going to be here for 1 year anyway, so I may as well take whatever I want because it's not going to hurt me. Is that, in essence, really the demarcation line in this when it comes to athletes taking money or doing what they've done?
No, there's not that many kids. You know, the problem is, Ron, everybody thinks they're a pro. There's been polls done, and as many as 60 to 70% of kids in all of Division I and Division II think they're going to play professional basketball in one way, shape, or form. So, you know, and we also know that there's 1.2% of the kids that play college basketball are actually going to play professionally, and their lifespan's going to be 4 years. So there's a real misconception out there about who actually is going to have an opportunity to play professionally. We tried to urge the NBA to do away with the one-and-done aspect. In other words, let kids go pro when they want. That's only going to take care of about 20 kids that the agents are paying because they know there's value there, and they want those kids to be part of their group, and so they want to get them early, and they're willing to pay them or their family. So that doesn't eliminate the problem. It's like somebody said, you know, once you eliminate the top 40 kids for people wanting to pay them because they're going to go pro, well, then the 41st player now becomes the number one player. But I think that what happens then, it's not the agents necessarily that see value there. It's going to go back to the universities. They're going to say, okay, this is still the best guy available to us. And now we've got to concern ourselves with, are there alums? Are there people funneling the money to those kids or the AAU programs in other ways to get them to come to the school? And that's why we tried to increase the penalty phase. And we tried to increase the transparency from apparel companies so we could try to track where the money is coming from. And, hey, for as long as I've been in coaching, in 40-some years, I've watched all different ways of money being moved. It's just when a rule is made or somebody tries to set a policy, people just work real hard to find ways around it. So there's always going to be corrupt people in our business as well as any other business. We just like to try to bring it up out of the depths, you know, out in the light, and try to make people understand that a scholarship is a good deal. And if you want to go pro, we want to help you. If you want to put your name in the draft, we want you to have the ability to come back to school. If you don't get drafted, we want you to get correct advice as to whether you are a draftable player or not. Because most of these kids are not draftable that are putting their names in the draft. They're not going to get drafted. So maybe they need to beef up the G League, make it better for some of these kids. But what we don't want, you brought it up initially, and Condi was very strong, and the presidents on this panel felt the same way. Our job is not to showcase a kid so that he can go pro. Our job is to educate a young person to give them a chance for the rest of their life.
We've got about 90 seconds before we have to break here, Mike, and I'm just wondering, in the discussions, did you guys have any input from the shoe or apparel companies as to how they might be a stronger factor in getting this thing straightened out?
Well, Condi was really amazed that the shoe companies didn't have more transparency in terms of how their money was spent. She called it, what she called it, a circular firing line, you know, where everybody was just firing across in a circle, because nobody really owned up, the agents or the apparel companies or anybody else, to, well, it's not us, but it's everybody. And it's somebody for sure, but it's everybody. We all got to be a part of this whole thing. And the sad thing to me, Ron, is I'm not sure who really cares.
Right.
That's the important thing. You know, it's like steroids in baseball. Did everybody really care? Did you really care if Barry Bonds took steroids? Frankly, I'm not so sure I did. I loved seeing him hit home runs. And so You know, it's you have to care. People have to want it. The major thing right now is amateurism that we're dealing with. What is truly defines an amateur athlete? And I think that's the question that has to be resolved.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly with you. A very interesting, insightful, and educational discussion with Mike Montgomery, College Basketball Hall of Fame coach. And also, he was on the committee charged with finding out what caused the college basketball scandal and what changes should be made to clean up the program. We'll continue this insightful conversation as we continue on Sports Byline. Mike Montgomery has joined us here on Sports Byline USA. He was on that panel that was trying to figure out what caused the basketball scandal and what can be done to change the situation. Is there anything conclusive after you guys discussed everything that you felt good about, Mike?
Well, we felt good about a lot of things. We felt really good about a lot of the input that people offered that was on the committee. And, you know, John Thompson III, myself, Jeremy Foley, the former AD at the University of Florida, Gene Smith, the AD at Ohio State, and Jeff Hathaway, who's the AD at Hofstra, were sort of the basketball people that had more knowledge about what really was going on.
Right.
But there was also a lot of really other, I mean, obviously David Robinson and Grant Hill, who own NBA, are part owners of NBA franchises. They had a little different take on it. But we felt good about the input. We felt good about the efforts and how honest people were about it. But, there's definitely some things that need further study. There's some definitely, a lot of what we had was conceptual, things that were concepts about what needed to be done. I was on the Pac-12 task force, and I told them, and I told the committee the same thing. Look, we don't have the expertise or the time in this to solve when coaches should talk to players, when they should see them, some of the things that basketball people work on for years to try to get right. But there's some conceptual things, and once we agreed that basketball was not meant to be a professional sport. We have professional basketball, that it was meant for student athletes, and that we completely acknowledge the fact that there are people making a lot of money, and you read about it all the time. And I think that there's some people that have said some things, and I don't disagree, that we keep paying coaches more, schools keep taking more for apparel companies, and none of it gets filtered down to the people that are actually making it. But I think the thing that needs to be understood is that Cal, for example, Stanford has 35 sports. Cal has 30 sports, only two of which make money based on attendance and so forth. So a lot of the money that is made in those sports is used to fund all the other student athletes at those schools in other sports. Now, does that mean football and basketball should benefit more? I don't know, but try that one in court. I don't know that that's going to get very far if you separate kids out. So there's so many things involved in this. I do think the issue of name, image, and likeness is going to come up. To allow a student athlete to benefit on who they are based on what the market would bear. The day where some guy said that should have been addressed, they should be able to make money based on name, image, likeness with controls that no school should have anything to do with it. Well, come on, that's the problem now. You know, it's trying to trace where the money comes from. If a kid went out and legitimately made arrangements for himself based on who he is to make some extra money, that probably wouldn't be that big a deal. But you know that the colleges are going to get involved, and it's just going to separate the big schools from those that don't have the ability to generate ads and so forth for these kids.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. What did you think about the Knight Commission on Intercollegiate Athletic Supports, the recent reform proposals to the NCAA? But the committee or commission suggests changing the NCAA's governance structure and additional financial regulations regarding coaches or school employees receiving outside income from apparel companies?
Well, I think that's evolved. I think that would be very difficult. There was a lot of stuff in the Knight Commission that I thought was valid. You know, I thought Jay Billis has been very outspoken, and he's a smart guy, you know, had said the one disappointment was not that the amateurism thing that we took it on, but that we didn't acknowledge that coaches make too much money, that the money, they shouldn't take all the money. They should control all the financial aspects of it if you truly want it to be an amateur sport. And I didn't disagree with that. I thought that was valid on some levels. But it is a free enterprise system from the standpoint of coaches moving to another job. I thought that the Knight Commission had some good things to say. There was the Drake Commission that came out today and talked about some different things. And I think what, if nothing else, it's got people's attention. And it's focusing, it's forcing people to focus on some of the problems, on what is right, what's not right. It used to be that you signed a shoe contract with a company, and as a coach, gosh, I remember getting $5,000 from LA Gear. And I was just thinking I had died and gone to heaven that they'd pay me $5,000, you know, to wear their gear. Well, obviously, it's escalated. And the idea is that schools have all school contracts with these apparel companies. And maybe it should be transparent of that money that they're getting, how much is going to the coach. Or maybe it should go to all the staff members at the university. But keep in mind, those apparel contracts outfit every student athlete in every sport on that campus, and how much money that saves the athletic department that they have to spend on other things. So there's pros and cons both ways.
Let me ask you about a quote from Arnie Duncan, who is the commission co-chairman on that Knight Commission and also a former U.S. Secretary of Education, because I think this is kind of the bottom line on what you guys discussed and came up with and the Knight Commission. He says, it's an open question if the NCAA can restore public confidence in its ability to be stewards of big money college sports. To do so, it will need to embrace far more sweeping and deep-seated reform than ever before. Is that capable of being done?
There is no question that the NCAA has lost confidence of the general public. I think most people look at the NCAA as an inept group that don't really know what they're doing, do not have the teeth to be able to make tough decisions, will not take on the big schools. I think that's obvious. And I think Mark Emmert, who's a very smart man, knows that. And I think that's why he asked Condi Rice to chair this commission, because he wanted to be independent of the NCAA. And there is no question that the NCAA needs to be bolstered in a lot of different ways. I told them right to their face, I said, I love Roy Williams. I don't think Roy Williams had anything to do with the academic situation at North Carolina, but the NCAA needed to hammer them. And when they don't do that to North Carolina in an academic fraud situation, and, you know, the old joke used to be if Morehead State got put on probation, it was because something Kentucky did. That's been a joke in the NCAA for years, that they won't take on the blue bloods. And I think they have to be willing to do that. I think they can't differentiate between Duke and Drake. I think if somebody steps outside the line, even though those people are big money makers for them, they have to be hammered. And you know, whether they can restore the confidence, I don't really know. Certainly with the present structure, I would say no. You know, they get into these big cases, such as where it would be a death penalty type case or to take away a Final Four championship and so forth. The NCAA has typically been totally outgunned in terms of the people that are fighting the cases. The NCAA is made up of member institution people with their legal staff. Well, these schools, you pick it, whoever it is, they go out and get the very finest lawyers available in this country to fight them, and the NCAA is just outmanned, outgunned. And we've got to change that, and we've got to change the structure so schools want to be a part of the solution. And I think it starts with the presidents and goes down to the ADs and goes down to the coaches. Ron, they know. ADs know what's going on. Presidents know. In certain parts of this country, it's a way of doing business, and they know that's exactly what's going on. We have to do away with that.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly, Mike. I've been talking about that for a long time. I always question the presidents in the fact that they know whether the ball's stuffed or blown up. A final question here. We got about a minute and a half, as I said. Realistically, are we going to see any change, or is things going to continue the way they are, or they'll get a little bit better, and then we'll be talking about this again in 2 or 3 years?
Well, is it going to change? Yeah. Is it going to get better? Sure. Are we going to solve it? No. The one thing Condi did do, which I thought was really good, you know, we made our suggestions, We told the NCAA what their charge was, and she said, we will be back in August to make sure that you have implemented these changes. And that took them off guard a little bit. So they're working really hard. There's some really good people in the NCAA that are working really hard to make this thing work. But look, if I've got a kid and I'm an agent and I know that he's going to be worth, say, first-round draft pick, and I know he's going to be worth $250 million in his career, his lifetime, it behooves me to be his agent. And I'm going to find a way somehow to do it. And if we can find those people and catch them and take away their ability to be agents, that will slow it down. And it's the same thing with the school. If they know that this kid can get me to a Final Four and all that comes along with that, there has to be a penalty structure and the ability to scare them enough that somebody's going to say, you know what, we're not going to do that. Here's what we have to offer. Here's who we are. Come play with us, blah, 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 and slow down the fact that people are paying these kids under the table to pay for them, to play for them.
Mike, I want to thank you very much. Very insightful for giving us the time and explaining deeper what happened with that committee. Take care, my friend.
All right, thank you. Nice talking to you.
Mike Montgomery again, College Basketball Hall of Fame coach. He coached at Stanford, Cal, Montana, and also a couple years in the NBA. On that committee, charged with finding out what caused the college basketball scandal and what can be done. I'm Ron Barr. Good to have you with us on Sports Byline.